Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Jeff Henderson on the show today. Jeff is an author, entrepreneur, business coach, and was recently named by Forbes magazine as one of 20 speakers you shouldn't miss. Jeff, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I am so incredibly excited about our conversation today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Lisa, it's such an honor to be here, and thanks for what you're doing. And you and I have so many mutual connections, so it's just great to see and great to be here.
Very good. And you're in Atlanta, and I'm in St. Louis. Thank goodness for technology.
That's awesome. Right. That's right. That's right. Well, I love coming up to St. Louis. I come up with the exception of last summer, of course, every other summer to speak at the Crossing, and love it. Love that area. So it's great to be there.
Well, you and I were recently connected, but I feel like I've known you for years because Cheryl Batchelder, who is a mutual friend of ours, connected us. And she said, you need to think about having Jeff on your podcast. I not only got your book, but I also got your study guide. And I am just so excited about what you're doing. I so believe in your philosophy, Jeff, and I cannot wait for you to share that with our listeners. But before we get started with that, I want to talk just a little bit about how you grew up. And I know you're an Atlanta kid. You were in Atlanta, born and raised, but tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
Absolutely. Well, both my wife and I are from Atlanta, so we were natives here and have loved it. And, you know, when you grow up in Atlanta, they teach you to do two things, which is drink Coca-Cola and eat Chick-fil-A. So I did both of those really, really well. And a group of preacher's kid promised myself I'd never work at a church. So I went into business. I really enjoyed sports and sports marketing. And I didn't know there was such a thing as sports marketing. So I actually worked with the Atlanta Braves in marketing and really developed a love of marketing. And then eventually handled all of Chick-fil-A sports marketing and beverage marketing and loved it and never thought I would leave. And yet our church, North Point Community Church in Atlanta, was developing a multi-site approach. And long story short, they asked me to help them launch their first initial church, was called Buckhead Church. I did that 17 years ago and then eventually launched two other churches. So over the course of 3 years, Wendy and I were really fortunate to launch three churches in the Atlanta area. But I've always had a heartbeat for business people, business leaders. I've always dabbled from an entrepreneurial standpoint. And all of that eventually led me to write the book, which eventually led me to trying to serve both business and nonprofit leaders as well. So that's kind of a little bit of our story. But I love the church, but I love the business world. And so what I'm doing now, I'm able to kind of jump back into both of those worlds.
The best of both worlds. But there's one thing that just struck me, Jeff, as you were talking, never say never.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you said, I never will want to work in the church. And you ended up doing that. But we all know North Point. I told you, Chick-fil-A is my go-to. I love Chick-fil-A. I could eat Chick-fil-A every day. And then North Point, I was actually a worship leader for several years at a church. And I used all of their worship music because awesome music is coming out of there. But, you know, that's all a perfect segue kind of into what you're doing today. And I want to get into this because there is so much here that I want to talk about. In your book, you say the future is now. You said, organizations that understand this and shift to focus the business on the customer are going to win, because the heart of the customer is the battleground. You know, the whole idea, your book is called Four, and, you know, we're going to try to unpack this as much as we can, but tell me more about that, capturing the heart of the customer. And I think Chick-fil-A is probably one of those loved brands that has done that so well.
Absolutely. And North Point has as well. And so, you know, a few years ago, Lisa, a mentor of mine, I was just having breakfast and I said, what a blessing to me to be able to work for a multi-billion dollar business like Chick-fil-A that has experienced same store sales growth for the last 50 years. At the same time, to work at North Point Ministries, which was recently named the largest church in America. I said, what a blessing that is. And he pushed back a little bit and he said, no, it is a blessing, but it's a stewardship responsibility. You owe it to the rest of us to tell us what you learned. What was the secret of growth? And if you could boil it down to half a piece of paper, what would that be? So I thought, wow, that's great. And so I really boiled it down to two questions. And the two questions really go to your point, Lisa, about winning the heart of the customer. That's the battleground, if you will, winning their hearts, not just their hands, but their hearts, so that there's brand loyalty. And so it really came down to two questions. This is true from a business standpoint. This is true from a church standpoint. It's true from a nonprofit standpoint. And actually, these two questions, as I put in the book, they're actually great personally, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But the question number one is, what do you want to be known for? I mean, what is your unique niche? What is your brand? What do you want to be known for? And that sounds like a simple question. And the good news is it is a simple question, but it's not an easy question. In fact, when I go and consult with leadership teams, I'll ask the leadership team to write down what they think the organization needs to be known for. Don't say it out loud. Just write down a piece of paper. Then I collect the pieces of paper and read it out loud. And you begin to see around the room that the leadership team's not even sure what they want to be known for. But that's your unique vision. Then question number two is, what are you known for? And that's the customers reflecting back to you on whether or not you're delivering on your brand promise. But the power of those two questions is when what you want to be known for is what you're known for, you create the most powerful form of advertising, and that's word of mouth advertising. That's brand loyalty. And so as I reflect on what I experienced at Chick-fil-A, what I experienced at North Point, and what I experienced with amazing leaders like a Cheryl Batchelder, who I've seen do this, I felt like it all comes down to who and what are you for? And are those people experiencing that? And when they do, they respond because they'll be for you.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Cook, he's the co-founder of Intuit, and he says a brand is no longer what it tells its customers it is, but it is what the customer tells each other it is.
Absolutely.
And you talk about when you do this and you do this well, you are building a virtual sales force for your organization. You really are, because those people are going to go tell other people. So you mentioned Chick-fil-A, and I think all of us, you know, have read things about Truett, you know, and you got to spend time with him. One thing I think you said, and I hope I say this well, Jeff, he is more interested in building the people than building the business with the people. I mean, is that kind of like it is?
I opened the book with driving Truett to a speaking engagement. This is one of the first one-on-one times. I mean, I've been around Truett numerous times, but one-on-one just in a car driving him. And by the way, I was nervous the whole time. I just made sure I didn't want to wreck or, you know, do anything like that. So I drove.
You could just see the headlines.
I didn't want this to be my 15 minutes of fame. So I drove really slow, very carefully. But I was expecting we would talk about the business, and we did a little bit. But then he began to ask me questions such as, well, do you like working here? Does your wife, Wendy, does she like you working here? Talking about fatherhood. I had a little baby at the time. Our daughter was just 1 or 2 years old. And at the course at the end of the evening, I realized that Truett was more interested in me as a person than he was a chicken salesman. And that's when I discovered the secret of how he built the business. And the secret was Truett was more interested in the business building people than he was people building the business. But that's how the business grew, because as you built people, they got better. They became more loyal because they experienced the genuine, authentic care. And we wanted to grow. And I would have run through 25 brick walls for Truett Cathy that night, because I realized he was more interested in me as a person than me for what I could do for him. He wanted to know what he could do for me more than what I could do for him. And it was just completely disarming, different. It shouldn't be a different approach, unfortunately, Lisa, but it is a different approach in leadership in many cases. But as I reflected on it, I thought, well, that's the secret of the business. He's genuinely for the people that are in business with him, and we will return the favor. That's how this works. And it's not a quid pro quo. It's not a manipulative thing by any stretch. It's just he genuinely cared. And he was authentic. And sometimes I think in the business world, and this happens in nonprofit world, we miss the humanity of the business. And when we miss the humanity of the business, I think the people suffer all on both sides. And Truett just said, no, I, at the end of the day, I'm not in the chicken business. I'm in the people business.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Jeff, being for, so you talk about being for your customer, then being for your team. And then I want to talk more about being for you a little bit later. But, you know, I've always said, you know, your children, they've got to understand that somebody's in their corner, you know, that mom is for me, dad is for me. There's so much power there.
Yes.
And Dr. Irwin, who you and I both know, he talked so much about the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
And you do too.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to move into another story, and I'm hoping you can tell this story. We have a few minutes left here before we need to take a break, but I know the Ritz-Carlton is the gold standard,
right?
But that did not just happen by chance, right, Jeff? You even say you create a culture by default or design, and Horschultz created that culture by design. But you tell a story about you and Jesse. Can you tell our listeners that story?
Absolutely. And I think any organization, Lisa, would say, oh, we're for our customer. But there's different levels and there's different intentionality to it. And if you're truly for your customer, you will design systems to make sure that happens. And one of the things I do with businesses and churches and nonprofits is we just go to their Instagram page and I'll say, are you talking more about yourself or your customer? Because what I'm seeing here is you're talking a whole lot more about yourself than your customer. I don't think you're genuinely for them. You're more for you. And not saying you shouldn't talk about yourself, but what Horst did is he designed systems, and he knew the word that the sound that people love to hear the most is the sound of their names being said. My daughter and I would stay in the Buckhead area for a father-daughter dance, and then we would stay at the Ritz-Carlton. I wish she would still do this, but she's a college senior, so she's lost interest in going to daddy-daughter dance nights with me. So we check in at the Ritz. We get out of the car. You know, the gentleman asked our name. I'm Jeff Henderson. This is my daughter, Jessie. And so he said, I'll get your bag. Just go to the front desk. I look back and he's talking into his sleeve like a Secret Service agent. Jessie and I walk up. And as we walk up to the front desk, the Ritz-Carlton employee says, Mr. and Miss Henderson, we're so honored that you're here. Thank you for being here. And my daughter's eyes, I think she's like seven or eight, Lisa. Her eyes got so big. So we check in and they're taking our bags. She said, Dad, how do they know our names? And I said, well, honey, your dad's big time here in Buckhead. What are you talking about? Everybody knows my name. But I thought, all right, here's a system. All right. So somebody in a room somewhere said, all right, the first thing that you do with a guest isn't to get their bags. The first thing you do is you get their names. Then you're going to radio their names to the front desk so that when they walk to the front desk, you say their names. Now, Lisa, my daughter is 21. So if she's 8, however many years ago that is, I'm not good in math, 13, 14 years, I'm still talking about that. Well, why is that? Well, Horst Schulze and the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead, they were genuinely for me because they went the extra mile. They did something more. They did something special. They did, hey, I'm going to go the extra mile, the second mile. And that's being genuinely for your customer.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. And I bet you Jesse's still talking about it too.
Absolutely. I mean, even though we don't do the daddy-daughter dance, we were down here a couple weeks ago for dinner with some friends and we drove by. And she goes, Dad, remember? Absolutely, babe. I remember.
Yes, very good. Well, listen, we have a lot more to talk about, but we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Jeff Henderson.
Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground.
So welcome back. Jeff, I want to dive a little bit more into this because you talk about, and I believe this too, you talk about the little things matter. It's kind of guerrilla marketing.
Right.
You know, you talk a lot about thank you notes. I'm a huge thank you. I think it's a lost art.
Right. It is.
You talk about Frank Blake with Home Depot that writes 100 a week. And something else you said that I think is so poignant, a lack of gratitude is ingratitude.
Right, right.
Talk a little bit about the social media, you know, and a strategy there that might help our listeners.
Well, when I talk to business leaders, and again, Lisa, this is true for churches. And when I say this, people lose their minds. When I go, by the way, you know, your organization doesn't do social media. And they look at me and go, what are you talking about? I can show you my Facebook page. I can show you our Instagram account. We're really involved. And I said, no, you're doing digital media. And the reason I say that is most organizations forget the social in social media. And I've said this with multi-billion dollar brands before. I'll go to their Instagram pages and say, look, you posted something and that's great. It's a product. And you've gotten 89 comments and you haven't responded to any of them. And so what you're doing is you have a monologue, and great social media is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's called social media for a reason. And a lot of pushback I'll get is, well, you know, we can't scale it. No, you can scale it. Remember, there wasn't such a thing as social media just a few years ago. This is brand new. We can figure this out. But at the end of the day, the organizations that get personal, and in fact, Dan Cathy at Chick-fil-A used to say, I want to grow a small company. I love that phrase. How do you grow a small company? Well, you want to grow, but you don't want to lose the personal culture of it. And that's what Frank Blake did. He would write, as the CEO of Home Depot, as you mentioned, Lisa, 100 thank you notes a week. And when Frank took over at Home Depot, they were really struggling, but he really turned it around. And if you were to ask him, if you could only say one thing that did the turnaround, he would point to these thank you notes, because these thank you notes were small personal gestures that delivered wow to people. In fact, my favorite story, he went to a store one time and a Home Depot associate came up and said, Mr. Blake, you wrote me a thank you note. I'm so grateful for that, but could you write me another one? And he said, sure, but why do you need another one? And he said, well, when I got your note, I showed it to my wife and my colleagues, and they all said, oh, it's not real. It's just computer generated. There's no way that Frank Blake wrote you a thank you note. And if you were to put it underwater, the ink won't run because it's generated. So he put it underwater. The good news is it was a real note. The ink ran, but the bad news was it was a real note and the ink ran and he ruined the note. And sure, we're not all Frank Blakes, but at the end of the day, those small personal gestures are the gestures that people remember. And that's why I love what Pastor Andy Stanley says, unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. And so I can't write 100 thank you notes a day, but you know what I can do? I can write 3. And 3 times 5 is 15, and 15 times 52 weeks, that's a lot of thank you notes. Those small personal gestures people remember. It's a way, not an exhaustive list, but a way to show someone that you are genuinely for them.
Ah, I want to move into this because I think this is so important. So this is all great. We've been talking about being for your customer, being for your team. But Jeff, in the book, you talk about being for you. And the thing is, you cannot grow a healthy organization with unhealthy people.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah, this is such an important section. And I'd love for you to dive into this just a little bit, and then we'll get into a few other things.
Sure. Well, it's much like, Lisa, the old airplane analogy. You know, if the plane's going down and the oxygen mask fall, you breathe first and then put the oxygen mask on the person next to you. And the best gift that you and I can give the people and the organizations that we serve is a healthy, inspired, best version of you and me. It kind of sounds counterintuitive. We want you to be for your customer and for your team and for your community and world. But by the way, it starts with you. But it really does. And to genuinely be for the people in my life, it is not selfish for me to get the rest that I need. It is not selfish for me to prioritize exercise and spiritual and disciplined habits. It's one of the best gifts that I can give the people in my life is to have the best version of me. And that doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. And one of the things I wrote in the book is it's one thing to be inspired. That's great. We all need to be inspired. But it's a whole other different thing to remain inspired. And remaining inspired is really the biggest challenge that you and I have. And so to be for the people in our lives, I've got to make sure that I am bringing the best me. And to bring the best me, I have to be for me and to give myself permission to take care of myself.
I cannot agree more. I always say you can't pour out what you don't possess yourself. So your cup needs to be full. So that's a perfect segue, because I want to know, what is a morning routine look like for Jeff Henderson?
Well, one of the things I discovered is that a great day begins the night before. So my morning routine actually begins the night before. And in fact, my habit this year, Lisa, I've done this, but I want to get even better. I want every night to write down 3 wins for the next day. And there's research called the implementation intention. What the implementation intention says is if you write down the night before what you're going to do, the chances go up 95% that you're actually going to do it the next day. So for example, if you were to say, I am going to exercise at 6 a.m. at my gym, and you write it down and you look at it, research says the odds go up 95% that you actually do this. So in terms of morning routines for me, it actually begins the night before by defining, what do I want tomorrow's 3 wins to look like? Because if we don't define the next day will typically define us with all the interruptions and the unplanned. And that doesn't mean that I bat 1,000% on that, but at least I've defined what I want that day to be for. And so then I'm able to get up and then have a morning routine of exercise, devotion. I'm reading. I try to write every day as well. Those routines, those daily habits. And then in terms of nutrition, what that current season, whether it's an intermittent fasting season or whether it's protein shake season, I have different seasons on that. But I want to bring my best to the mornings and then trying to get the proper sleep the night before. So defining the day, a great day begins the night before, and having a great morning. I think the way you attack the day is to win the mornings. And the more mornings you win, the more days you win. The more days you win, the more weeks you win. And the more weeks you win, the more months you win.
Oh, that is so good. Well, I was telling my husband, Greg, just recently, I said, I heard a doctor on the radio, and this doctor was talking about the optimal time for your body to heal is from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Wow.
So I said, okay, in 2021, I'm going to try to be asleep by 10 a.m. because I need that time. I need my optimal time. So we've made it some of the time, half the time, I guess, maybe so far.
That's a great goal to aim for.
It is. Well, you know what? That leads me to this. So Tin Tassopoulos is now the president of Chick-fil-A. And you had lunch with him and you said, Tim, so what's your definition of success?
Tim's an amazing man. And he went from working as a high school teenager as a team member, and now he's the president of a multi-billion-dollar company. One of the top 5 leaders I've ever been around. So when I said, what a success, he goes, Jeff, that's a bad question. I'm like, what? I thought that was a great question. What are you talking about? He goes, no, there's nothing wrong with success. Success is comparing yourself to other people. Excellence is comparing yourself to your own potential. So the better question you need to ask is, what is excellence? And what is my excellence? Because the healthiest competition you will ever have is to compete against your own potential. Well, Lisa, good grief. That just freed me up because, you know, I could sit and have breakfast with a Tim Tassopoulos and think, I will never be a Tim Tassopoulos. Well, that's true. There's only one. What I need to be at breakfast asking Tim about is how can I get closer to Jeff Henderson's potential? How can Lisa Nichols get closer to Lisa Nichols' potential? I think from a theological standpoint, that's the question we're going to be asked. We're not going to be asked, Lisa, let's compare you to Cheryl Botch Elder, or Jeff, let's compare you to Tim Tassopoulos. And so in that moment, it was so freeing and it was also exciting for me. Oh, I do have potential and I don't need to worry about what anybody else is doing. Let them run their race. I've got a race that's set out for me. And the best way I get there is to be truthful about my potential. You know, there's some things that I'm not good at, but there's some things I'm really good at. There's some things that you're really great at, Lisa. Well, that's a gift. So that's your potential. And we'll never get there. That's one of the things, many things I love about Andy Stanley, one of the best communicators around, but he continues to try to get better. I mean, he could say, I've arrived. No, he continues to get better. He listens to his messages. He watches his messages as a way to get better. So this whole idea of comparing yourself to your potential and asking the question, what is your excellence versus what a success, was a game changer for me.
Such amazing advice. Comparing yourself to other people is exhausting.
Oh, it's no fun.
Yeah, it's no fun. I mean, you were never meant to be somebody else. You were meant to be the best version of you. So
yeah.
Beautiful advice. I absolutely love that. So Jeff, what do you believe is a something extra that every leader needs?
I think a something extra is humility. And humility, Lisa, is an odd thing because if I were to say, Lisa, you know what? One of the best things about me is I'm a humble person. Well, that means I've failed the test, right? So I try to tell people, I'm not a humble person. I'm a person that tries to practice humility. There's a difference. And again, speaking of Chick-fil-A, this is something Dan Cathy, like if you and I were to have lunch with Dan Cathy, I guarantee you he would fight to pick up your plate and take it to the trash. He wants to take the low place. He wants to not sit at the head of the table. He wants to sit at the back of the room. So I think every leader needs to practice humility. And one of the things I told my kids and I put in the book is there's an age-old, timeless principle. I don't care what you believe about anything. This is true. Be humble or be humbled. You have a choice. What history records is if you're not humble, just give it time. I don't care who you are and how talented you are. If you're not humble, just start setting your watch and looking, because life will humble you. And I would rather be humble and practice humility than let life humble me. And so every single day is an opportunity for me to practice humility. And I think every leader should say these words on a very consistent basis. I don't know. As the leader, you know this, as a business owner, when people ask you a question, there's something in you inherently that rises up. Says, well, I'm the co-owner. I got to figure this out. But to say, gosh, I don't know. What do you think? That practices humility. So I think that's something extra for me. Humility is a game changer. Genuine, authentic humility is a game changer. It is that something extra.
So good. So good. We could be talking here for 10 hours. I would love it. Well,
thank you. I would love that too.
But, you know, I want to give you the opportunity. Obviously, we'll have this in the show notes. And you would not say this about yourself, Jeff, but you were recently named by Forbes as one of the top 20 speakers that you should not miss. So I want our listeners to know that you have an amazing person here. If you've got a company event and you need a good speaker, reach out to Jeff's team. He is on the John Maxwell team now, correct?
Right.
So reach out to the team and I'm sure he would love to come speak to your group. But what would you like our listeners to know?
One of the things I'm trying to do, and Lisa, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be on the podcast because I'm trying to spread this message. It's no longer about being the best company in the world. It's about being the best company for the world. And I really do believe that you can combine purpose and profit. I think purpose fuels profit, and I think profit fuels purpose. And I just have a heartbeat for helping businesses. Obviously, as a former pastor, I have a heartbeat for helping great churches like The Crossing in St. Louis. I love that team. I want people to join this movement of being for creating organizations that are genuinely for people. So one of the things I would encourage people to do is if they'll get the book, at the back of the book is my cell phone number. And when you read the book, I would love for you to text me and just say, hey, here's what I'm doing with the content. Can you come? And like you and I were talking before we started recording, you're about to take a small group through it. Hey, I'll jump on a Zoom call and would love just to say hey to the group and to hear, how are y'all taking this message and what can I do to help? And how can I learn from you? And that's the thing I love about doing these Zoom calls and doing podcasts like yours. I get to learn and I get to say, hey, I was with Lisa Nichols yesterday and here's what they're doing and you ought to do this. So I would just invite them to get the book and then text me. And it's so fun for me, Lisa. I get a text almost every day from some places around the world saying, hey, here's what we're doing for, and here's how we're being for our customer, or here's how we're being for our team. And it's just been encouraging for me. So that's the thing I would ask. And to do that, if you'll text me, I promise you, I'm batting 100% or 1,000%, whatever it is, I'll text you right back. But I'm here to help in any way I can.
Well, I hope you have a whole bunch of texts coming in from our listeners. So,
me too.
And really, those texts, I mean, what you have to think about as a listener, because Jeff is for you, you know, that's going to fuel his passion to keep doing what you're doing. So I can't encourage you guys enough. Go get the book, get the study guide. Let's create a movement. Can you imagine what our world would be like if we were all for one another?
I'm so in agreement with you, Lisa. And I just feel like now more than ever, now is the time to genuinely be for organizations, for people, for customers, and for team. And that's why I'm so excited about, as challenging as these days have been, it's an opportunity to reimagine what organizations want to be about. That's what I'm so excited. I was with a construction company recently doing a Zoom call, and they said, we were already doing this, but the word and the language helps us have language about it. And language is so important in an organization because language communicates vision. And that's what I think this can help with.
I agree. Well, Jeff, thanks again. It's been such a pleasure having you on. I've enjoyed the conversation, and you take care of yourself.
Thanks, Lisa. Hope to see you in St. Louis sometime soon.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.